Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Let's Get Fired. If you have any questions you want us to ask our guest or have any crazy work stories you want to share with us, go ahead and email them to us at letsgetfiredpodcast@gmail.com. Again, that's letsgetfiredpodcast@gmail.com. Let's get into it.
I'm better at this than anyone else, and I already turned the tables on you guys.
If there was a country you could nuke off the face of the earth, which would it be?
Do you normally cry in life? Do you have moments at home where you're sad and it brings you to tears?
If we hire this Jew, he might replace us.
Why does he get the high chair?
Yeah,
I mean, if you want
to sit on the ground.
I'll sit on the ground.
I'm comfortable. I'm very comfortable. I like the soft cushion.
Yeah, you're having a good time. I feel like I'm going to have to lean. I'll just...
You're in frame. Yeah, you're in frame. Yeah, we're all here.
I'll do this.
Dude.
My butthole can't handle harsh plastic. Oh, I need to be pampered. Yeah, I need a soft cushion on my rectum.
Yeah, man. I'm with you. I feel the same way with like AirPods, like the hard plastic ones. Yeah. Can't do it.
Let's wait till 34 and the hemorrhoids hit.
Oh, dude. I went through hemorrhoid city at like 28. So
really? That's too young.
Hasn't happened. Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be.
You haven't had a suppository?
Oh, no, my dad put one in my ass when I was like 10.
That makes sense. Yeah, that's a good dad.
Always a good dad. In a Walgreens parking lot.
That makes sense, too.
It was kind of the moment when I realized that I don't think I believed in God.
When your dad raped you in a Walgreens parking lot?
Yeah. I was like, I don't know if this whole Mormon thing's real. But yeah, that was a... Because he kept being like, I'll give you a blessing and I'll cure your sickness. And I was like, okay.
What was wrong with you?
I don't know. I was just sick. I was just like... Probably like the flu or something.
And your dad felt like fingering your asshole would cure it?
Not yet. So he put his hands on my head first, give me a blessing. That didn't work.
Okay.
He's like, let's go to Walgreens and then put a pill up my ass. And
there are no pills that go up assholes.
It's a suppository.
Suppository of what? Your dad being interested in your asshole?
I guess that's why I believe. You have to believe that now.
It was a pill. It explains a lot. Yeah, the more you talk about like your childhood.
There's no pills that go up your ass.
Wait, yeah, suppositories.
Yeah.
What was wrong with you?
I was a long time ago. It just was super sick. I don't know exactly what
it was.
I like
how you blocked out the wrong part of the memory. You're supposed to block out the getting raped part, not the being what I was sick with
part. I hold on to that part because I knew I'm like, one day I'll have some, this is some content.
Okay. Yeah. You knew it.
Yeah, yeah.
How old were you when your dad fingered your asshole?
Probably like 10 or 12.
You were 10 or, you don't even know.
Don't know.
Because 12 is way worse. 10 is like you're still a little boy. 12 is you're nearly a bar mitzvah.
Is it worse to be fingered as at 10 or 12? I don't know.
12, at least your butthole's a little looser. You know, you've cranked out more turds.
A little wider.
You've had two more years. You're a little bit more of a boy. Yep. You know, you got a wider rectum.
True.
10-year-old, that's a real tight butthole.
I can remember, it's a clear memory in my mind of when I went up there.
I'm sorry to hijack your podcast. I don't know what you guys normally do here.
It needs to be hijacked.
I'm sure it's not stories of fingering rectums, but okay. Did your dad spit on his finger first? Like, what was, like, what? All right.
Yeah.
You get outside of the Walgreens and he's like, son, I've got your anal pill.
Yeah.
Now, it's suspicious that there was only one.
Yeah.
Usually medicine, it's a protocol of a couple days. It's very rare that it's just a one and done. So this was a real magical pill that your dad inserted once.
It was only one time.
Yeah, that also doesn't make sense. I'm just saying the things that don't make sense. Usually there's a protocol with medicine and it's never just one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Never really thought about that.
And maybe that's because like even Z-Packs for strep, it's five, but maybe it's because it's oral. Maybe up the rectum, it's always like that effective. Yeah. Fine. You go into Walgreens.
Uh-huh.
You purchase medicine.
Yes.
Now, why was it so urgent that it had to be done in the parking lot?
Dude, I've never really thought about this.
Was it in the Honda Odyssey?
No, dude. It was in a... I can't remember what car we were driving at the time, but...
Did he open up the doors, like, changing at the beach so, like, no one else could see?
No, it was just, like, I was in the passenger seat, and I just flipped around, popped it up there. One time. I was the only one time. But, yeah, in the parking lot. Like, I've never really thought about why it had to be in the parking lot before.
Okay. How much of an emergency was this?
I don't know.
And why couldn't he trust you to shove it up your own ass?
I mean, I guess...
That makes me feel like you weren't 12.
You can trust a 12-year-old with shoving something up their own ass.
I mean, yeah. No, that's true.
You know what?
But
I say we call your dad. I say we wake him up on this Sunday evening.
Yeah, just quick question.
Yeah.
Remember that time you shoved a pill in my ass? Was that a pill or your finger? But yeah, this is.
Was he weird about it? Like, son, I don't want to do this. I'm sorry that we have to do this.
It was like that. I was like, I'm sorry we have to do this. But I was like, I was really nervous. I was like, I don't want to do this. He's like, it'll be super fast. I was like, I don't want to do this. And then, just like, it was quick. We'll give him that. It was fast. But like,
you know what I've learned?
Yeah.
Your dad's good at people. He even had like the speech that like, listen, it's gonna be quick, I'll be gentle, I know what I'm doing.
I got him right where
it's
I
totally
want him.
Normal.
We got him in the Boggins parking lot, my hunting ground.
How active is your dad in the church, and was he ever around choir boys?
Oh man, well he's still in the church, but we don't got choir boys in the Mormon church.
Oh,
we've got young men.
They're just
they call the young
boys
men.
Aged 12 to 18 are called young men.
And there's like different tiers. There's
of young
like
men
12 to 14. You're a deacon. And
deacon.
Then, deacon. Okay. Yeah. And then it's like 14 to 16. You're a teacher. So
okay.
They call it. And then 16 to 18. You're a priest. And then from there you become like a high priest or whatever. But yeah, so there's a whole system. There's always like young men's leaders.
Do you guys still go to church at all? Like, are you involved with it? You are?
My wife goes to BYU.
Okay. What's that?
It's the Mormon
University.
It's like
the Notre Dame.
Your wife's still in school?
Yeah. She's 27 in college.
Is she dumb? Or?
Yeah. Well, so that's fair. No, she went to school at 18 like a normal person and then took a few years off
to do what?
Nothing. She didn't know what she wanted to do with her life.
Okay.
So she was going to school up in Washington State, and she was in the Army ROTC, and then she started dating me, and then I was like super libertarian. I was like, you don't want to sell your soul to the government.
Right.
And then so like a week before she was going to sign her contract, I talked her out of it, and then she didn't. And we were still like dating, like we're 6 months like dating at this point. And then the school was like, well, your scholarship was dependent on you being in the Army. And then so she was out of school.
I like how he's now fingering his asshole.
I was like, wasn't it right here? Was it? No. Yeah, no.
But then tuition at that school is like $30,000 a year.
Right.
And she's like, that's a scam. And now BYU, it's like $3,000. It's like almost community college pricing.
Right.
Yeah. So now.
You have to know some things about his wife. She is from Philadelphia.
Okay.
And she has a pretty fucking insane upbringing where she's like, she's kind of good to believe anything. Like, she, like, was it, did her parents grow up on Kensington Street?
Yeah. Her family's from Kensington.
So she's like, it's like, I don't know.
And
she's
like, she doesn't know witches. Either one of her biological parents. Like, she was raised by her grandpa and her grandma, and they're like, extras from the Rocky movies, and her grandma's not even her real grandma. It's like her grandpa's second wife, and like her grandma, who they made her call mom and dad back then, which is even crazier. Mm-hmm. Lit her first husband on fire.
They're fun.
Yeah.
They're fun.
Yeah, they're fun people. They're like real Philly. Like, if you watch like
that's
the
not
Rocky
real movie. Philly. Hey, grandma lit a dude on fire.
I don't know.
It's just Philly shit. That's what we do in Philly.
No, as a West Coaster.
No, go Birds.
Wow. And meeting my in-laws for the first time. Oh, I was like, that's just Philadelphia. They're
especially growing up in Utah. I'm like, oh my God. Like it's it all seems like folklore. Anything that happens out in the East Coast, we're like, these are real people. Like, when I was like, first time I ever listened to fucking Are You Garbage, I thought they were cartoon characters. I didn't realize they were actual human beings. Like, that's like, we're so used to just like no emotion out here and like no characters. Everyone just likes drinking Diet Coke,
right?
And like, that's it's like, so for us, it's very exciting.
Yeah. So this podcast, there's no way, you know, based off what we're talking about, this is called Let's Get Fired. It's a job interview.
Okay.
Where we decide if we would hire you or not.
Oh, you would hire me for anything.
Oh, yeah.
I can pass any job interview, no problem.
No, I like, because we talk about, like, you want to know about your job history. yeah, all that kind of
what
shit.
What about education? Yeah.
It doesn't matter what job you guys are looking to hire someone for. I'm qualified for that position. Mm-hmm. I'm better than the other candidates that you're speaking to. And I will bring a lot of value to this corporation.
So I already knew that. I already felt that moment you started talking.
What do you need to get done? I'm here to solve problems for your corporation.
Oh yeah.
What is it that you guys were looking to accomplish?
Dude, that just pierced my soul.
Because you're lucky to have me here with my corporate experience. I can advance your organization. What is it that you were looking to accomplish?
Hell yeah.
Oh, dude, what is our company?
We don't even know what we want to do.
I'm not sure if I even want to work for an organization that doesn't know what it's looking
to hire for.
This is the opportunity of a lifetime.
You get to help fucking build it. Because we're still in the evolution phase.
Am I going to get equity in this? I mean, if you guys are looking for me to get involved in your startup, I'm not sure if I'm interested without an equity stake.
We'll get you involved on the ground floor. You'll be a fucking early adopter.
I'm a little too far along in my career to just be getting involved in startups. So I'd like to know, what is it that you guys are looking to staff? What is it that you're offering me?
All right. No one's ever asked us this before.
I know, because I'm better at this than anyone else. I already turned the tables on you guys.
I like this a lot. I like this a lot, dude. Well, how about this? So we know what? We're gonna keep a little secret for now. You don't fucking get to know yet. We're fucking interviewing you, dude. What's the first job you ever had? This is gonna be about vibes. What's the first job you ever had? We have to know.
So I started an organization when I was 14 that I was very passionate about.
Okay.
Where I was trying to help children that had been raped by their fathers.
Oh my God, dude.
Because apparently there's a lot of children out there who have fathers who came up with random reasons why they thought they needed to finger their children's assholes. And some fathers are so disturbed that they'll even do it in a Walgreens parking lot.
Wow. Did you have success?
Yeah. There are quite a few people that I've been able to walk through their trauma and help them.
is this nonprofit called Break Down the Walls?
No, I'm about building walls and keeping the immigrants out. So that would be the conflict of interest. Message.
Yeah. Shit, dude. Oh my God.
No, I've worked a pretty wide range of jobs in my comedy career. I've restocked vending machines. That was a fun one.
Hell yeah.
I've done data entry. I've worked a lot of sales jobs. I've done a pretty wide range of, jobs.
Been out there. How was the vending machine job? Was that pretty easy? Was there more drama involved than we think there would be?
There definitely wasn't drama.
No drama in the vending machine industry.
There wasn't a lot of drama. You know, that was an okay comedy job because you could check out and just listen to whatever you wanted to. So I would listen to a lot of podcasts, but it was draining. It was long hours, and I had a little bit too much of an ego for it because
like, Mountain Dew doesn't belong in this.
No, it wasn't
just,
that. It
just
was
cactus coolers.
No, I couldn't in my head go, hey, I'm doing comedy, so it's fine. I work this shit job. Mm-hmm. I would show up every day like, I'm too smart to be restocking a vending machine. Like, I couldn't do that thing where it's like, yeah, I'm just getting through my day to pay my bills and I'm going to go do comedy shows tonight.
I've kind of felt that, like, my job delivering tires. Like, I'll have do a show and I have like a great set and I'm at work the next day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, they don't know how good I am. They don't know.
I work valet at this hotel. And if people ask me, like, so, well, outside of that, like, what do you do for work? Like, what do I do valet? And then I'm like, I'm so fast to tell them. Also, I do stand up. Like, also, by the way, I do that. And they're like, really? I'm like, yeah. Like, do you get paid for that? Like, well, not always. It's just like, I'm so ashamed. Even it's like a six. No one cares, but yeah, I'm like, so nervous.
Can you park my car and bring it back?
Like, well, yeah, do that. But I also have an Instagram. Yeah.
All right. So I've hijacked the podcast. The podcast is you interview people to see how they would be at jobs.
No, this was part of the podcast.
Oh, okay.
It was part of it. We're trying to figure out, like, we like to know what everyone's
It's also personality.
Yeah.
Like, so we want, like, what's like a guilty pleasure song that you have on your phone? Like a song that you'll just listen to in the car when you're by yourself. Yeah, but like,
in our
maybe you wouldn't play it with your friends.
Because, like, in our office, it's not just like, oh, yeah, they're a great worker, you know. In our office that we have yet to determine what it is, it's like, are they going to be fun? You know, fun
you stories. You want to make sure someone's bringing good vibes.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
And that they're listening to respectable music.
Or yeah. not. Sometimes or the not. Bad music, is. It's like, it's so funny that okay. we kind of want them to be around.
Okay.
They're like, well, there's one girl yeah. who straight up just likes Nickelback. and we're like, that's too much fun. Like, I don't know anyone. She's like, no, I just like them. So,
who actually has playlists on their phone? Who is that person?
Well, on Spotify?
I do not oh. have a single playlist. That no, wait, not, wait, wait,
what do you, how would you get your music? Like, do you use Apple Music or do you have, are you Android?
This is a
good question. Apple or Android?
Well, you can have Spotify and
yeah,
iPhone.
I mean, Spotify is universal.
I'm Android, and I would say I listen to most of my music just off of YouTube.
YouTube Premium covers it all.
I have YouTube Premium.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I will say I think Apple Music is better than YouTube Music, but I have the YouTube Music on my phone, and if I'm not... If I have access to Wi-Fi, I'm just on YouTube listening to music. If I'm on a plane, mm-hmm. then I just... press shuffle on whatever it's automatically downloaded, which is mostly just jam band stuff.
Oh yeah, like
big in jam bands
kind of guy or
Fish is not my favorite. You know, I listen to a lot of Widespread Panic.
I've heard the name.
Yeah,
yeah.
You can. I'm more of a Deadhead than anything else, but okay. at some point you've listened okay. to a lot of the Dead, and you got to branch out from there. Fish is fun. I've been to probably 20 Fish concerts.
You sucked on one of those like helium balloon things they have.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
oh, yeah.
There we go. Dude.
I'll tell you a good balloon story. All right. So firstly, it's laughing gas. It makes you laugh, that's right?
Yeah.
I was once outside of Madison Square Garden. I'd seen Fish, I think, on their New Year's run. And me and a buddy were double fisting balloons. Like, literally, you buy them three. Yeah. They used to be like $3 for $5, right?
Oh, my God.
So, and it's the best.
Yeah.
After a concert... it's the first thing you do is you leave and you buy your balloons and you're huffing down and you want to make it look like you're sucking dicks. That's what you would do, right?
Mm-hmm.
yeah. You get these giant balloons. Have you guys ever done nitrous balloons after a concert?
I've never seen a nitrous balloon. I know that they do it.
My
I've
God.
Seen the videos of it, but I've never
done
it.
So here's the thing. It's the best drug. It just is.
Yeah.
There's no drug that's as good of it. Like it is the best drug.
Really?
Without question.
I watched a YouTube video about how Kanye is addicted to nitrous.
He's into nitrous right now.
That's ridiculous. Like, I will do it once a year after a concert.
Yeah.
When you get people who are at that level, it's not...
You're not supposed to do it every day.
Yeah. Okay. So anyways, me and my buddy were there double fisting our balloons and an undercover cop comes and he pulls out his badge. And right when he pulls out his badge, we release the balloons. And so they just fly up in the air and we just start laughing in the guy's face because we're on nitrous oxide.
Yeah.
And so it's both funny because the evidence is gone.
Yeah.
There's nothing he can do.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, where'd you guys get these balloons from? And we just laugh in his fucking face.
It's but, perfect crime.
Yeah. My best experience though with nitrous balloons was I once saw a Fish at Randall's Island. And I'm a big fan of leaving a concert early.
Yeah.
I got ADD. I saw a couple songs. I did it. I danced around. Mm-hmm. I had my fun.
So like way before the encore. You're
way before the encore. So I was walking. You had to walk like this. There's a long bridge to Randall's Island.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just on that. This is what's great about drugs is that you could just be alone being the world's biggest loser, but you think you're the world's biggest winner.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm just walking the bridge, sucking down nitrous oxide balloons, having to stop and lean against a pole because he can't walk, and listening to Fish in the background. Oh, that was the best. Probably the best my life was ever.
Hell fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does suck sometimes when you're like, the best moment of my life. I was just
alone on drugs.
Uh-huh. Yeah, dude. I'm like, man, one of the best moments of my life. I was just blasted off on ecstasy. You're like, that's why, like, there was like people like who are really into ayahuasca. I don't really buy it as much because they're like, it changed my life. And I'm like, okay. But like, what are you going to do when you're sober? And like, no, I'm just going to keep doing ayahuasca. I'm like, you have to like figure it out sober though. And it's the same thing for me. I'm like, oh, anyways. So I didn't really have a good idea there, but we want to know about your next, what was the next question you wanted to ask, Drew?
The next one was, have you ever stolen company property?
No, I'm big on not stealing.
Okay, that's respectable.
Yeah, that's good.
Sometimes it's fun depending what it is.
Yeah.
I think
you ever steal company time?
I mean,
you know,
yes, yeah. That's called having a job. Yeah. I mean, the having a job is about, I mean, here's the thing. I've also had a lot of jobs where I work in sales and you're making your own money. Mm-hmm. And as long as you're ahead of quota, people are happy with you. So on those jobs, you're never stealing company time. It's just, Do I feel like plugging more sales? But, you know what? I'm actually oddly when I'm working and I'm in the zone, I'm working. I'm one of those guys. You ever see those people like they just work at like a fat, like I'm like, I want to just get this done and I want to do it well. I'm that kind of person when I'm in a job.
Yeah. I used to do Amazon delivery and they would like want you to take these half hour breaks. And then in the state of Oregon, I used to live there and they'd like require you to. And I would find a way to work around it where I could like, and I would, cause I was like, I don't want to fucking stop. I would just go head down until it was all done. Cause I was like, I feel like I'm just like wasting time otherwise. So I totally get that. You're just like, I just want to fucking get it over with. I'll see people who like, they'll clock into a job, like an Amazon job. Like you're not done until you've delivered everything. And they'll just like chill for an hour in their van. I'm like, what are you fucking doing? They're like, oh, I'm getting paid. I'm like, they'll pay you 10 hours guaranteed if you finish the route. And they're like, I don't know. So yeah, I don't understand that kind of mindset where you're just like, nah, dude. I just want to hang out at work.
Mindset sounds like just plowing through the work, using Adderall, showing up to work. No.
I've done Adderall at work before.
My experience with Adderall, and I like Adderall. There's been times in my life when I've been prescribed Adderall. Mm-hmm. I find if I get to a point with the job where I feel like I need it, it's time to leave the job. Because I don't want to daily medicate to get through something. It's literally been my personal indicator for it's time to leave this job is when I get to the point where I'm like, I can't get through my workday unless I'm drugging myself.
Yeah.
That to me is the sign for, all right, it's time to move on from this.
It's actually a great way to look at it where you're like, I can't.
If I need Adderall to do this. Yeah. I mean, that's how all of high school was for me because I was on Adderall in high school.
Oh, that sucks.
And now, like, as a kid, I didn't understand, like, when I was 14, 15, because, like, my doctor gave this to me. This isn't a drug.
Yeah.
But then, like, I think I've said this on the podcast before, but I look back, and I remember, like, in first and second period, just feeling this warmth in my chest and just feeling so good.
Right.
And now as an adult, I was like, oh, I was high. That's what it was. Yeah. I was high. I was tweaking out the first few hours of school every day.
Dude, I had a friend who would, like, lock the door. And he, like in high school, and he'd have like these pills of Adderall, and he goes, "No one's leaving this room until we all take these." And then like that guy,
like, you're like that's not much of a threat,
dude. He's fucking no, it's not. But he's like in Provo, it was like, whoa. But that guy, I was in the car with him once, and like 2 o'clock in the morning, he drives past a cop. The cop turns on his lights. My friend just guns it, and then drives into an apartment complex parking lot. There's no exit. We all get out. My friend's in a ghillie suit.
And then, what?
Yeah, and like...
What's a ghillie suit?
It's like what snipers wear, where it's like leaves like and stuff.
And anyways, like, we were like freaking out. And then like, we have to confront them. So we walk up to them, and then the cop's like... My friend's like, yeah, that's my car. I was driving. He's like, I couldn't give less of a fuck. He's like, all right. And then like... Just gave him a ticket because he parked in a handicapped spot.
Your friend's like, retarded. Why would you walk up to a cop and go, hey, I was the person that was committing that crime?
Dude, we're very, yeah, he is, but. Well,
when in Utah.
It's like it was his car. It's like, but it was very fun. And then that guy now, he's like, he was the craziest kid I knew in high school. He's like, just like off the chain. And then now he's like so straight laced. Like, hi, how are you doing now? Hi, hey, how are you, friend?
I did a door-to-door sales job in New Orleans when I.
What were you selling?
A home security.
Okay. I mean, and people need it in New Orleans.
I mean, yeah, we would lie. We'd like go to
people's. Have you seen any black people are living in the block?
Oh, no, this is
I can help you out with this.
This is a great story.
But we would like.
You're not putting this on the internet, right?
We would knock on people's doors and then lie and be like, hey, we heard there was a break-in in the neighborhood. And they're like, yeah, there was yesterday. Like every time. Didn't fail. Like,
oh, that was just your leading question without doing any research.
Yeah, we're out that's here. Great. We were told there was a break-in in this neighborhood.
That's a good hook.
And every time they're like, yes, there was. And then I'd like sell them, and then I'd like run their credit on my phone without them knowing. And then they failed every time. And then I'd be like, someone's gonna come by tomorrow for the install. And then we never had someone come by. So that was the whole grift.
Would you say that the cops showed up once?
Dude, I got the cops called on. Oh yeah, here's. So I knock on this lady's door. It's like this lady had to be like 50 to 60 years old, like this older black lady. I do my pitch. She just glares at me, doesn't say a word. And I'm like, all right. And I just walk off and I'm like walking down the road and she follows me. I didn't know she's following me. I'm not paying attention. I walk to a gas station, get some water because it's like New Orleans in August. Mm-hmm. And then I walk like another like mile and the cops roll up and they're like, hey, what are you doing in this neighborhood? And why are you running away from this lady? And she called the cops on me for being white in a black neighborhood.
That's wild.
And then the cops, which black cops, mm-hmm. threw me up against the cop car.
Really?
Took everything out of my pockets, frisked me. Yeah, dude, it was crazy. I was like, oh, now I know how this goes.
Well, dude, didn't they point to like the white neighborhood?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, that's where you should be.
Yeah, no, the cop's like, that's where you'll make money over there. You're not selling anything over here. And then my coworker's like, dude, I made so much money today selling over here to black people.
Yeah.
That's anyway, wild.
Different kind of life out there.
But, oh, with the guys I was working with, I remember one time we were in a hotel. There was just one bed. So the three of us had to share a bed. And
you
had
to?
Well, none of us wanted to sleep on the floor. Yeah,
we did. Guys, we have to. Oh, I only got the one. All right. Oh, and shit. Then,
I guess we have to cuddle. I mean, if we're already in the bed together.
I mean, it's already this close.
And then we all took Adderall. But I told them the way I did it at college, which would be.
Snort it?
If I had to. Well, no.
You know, it works better if we suck each other's dicks.
Yeah. It helps me get in my mouth. Yeah. I eat because we don't have any water, so I can swallow it that way. Yeah, I don't push it down.
You know what makes this high so much better?
Dude, it just like it rushes to your head so much faster. So trust me. So, and then put a finger up your ass.
I would use it to wake up. Like you, because if you wake up, set an alarm at like 4 a.m. and take Adderall, you're going to be wired by 6.
Right.
And so that was our plan. We like set an alarm for 5 a.m., took the Adderall, 7 o'clock. We're all waking up at the same time. We're just laying in bed, like staring at each other. Mm-hmm. And then the one guy's like, I just need to clean the room right now. We just got to clean. That's not a great story. I thought it was a better story.
Well, I'm just still hung up on why you guys had to all sleep in that bed.
Because none of us were going to sleep on the floor.
I've never slept on the floor. I have no problem sleeping on the floor.
I can't sleep on a floor.
Oh, my God, dude. You can't sleep on the floor?
No.
Dude, I'm honestly surprised. This guy thinks going like to Olive Garden's like a fancy meal. Anyways, this is off track of the interview. So, did you go to college?
I did. I got a degree in finance.
Hey.
And like I said, whatever tasks you guys need at this corporation, I'm more than qualified for.
All right. Finance. Do you control the weather?
I am not one of those Jews.
Okay.
I've met them, but, you know, that's I didn't like that. It's a little, it's too much for me. I don't want to be ruining people's day. Like, I get it. It needs to rain some days. Yeah. There's some days you need rain.
Mm-hmm.
But I still feel bad where I'm like, I ruin people's day with a rainy day. I don't want to be that person, you know?
Yeah, dude. So you didn't want to be like an earthbender or like.
No, it's not for me. I don't like that kind of responsibility.
Nah, too much work.
It's too much.
All right. That's respectable. You're giving people free will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Hell yeah, guys. No, I'm just realized. So when I was living in Oregon, I was like, I don't think there's really any Jews out here. Now it makes sense because I feel like they're just chucking all that rain out to the Pacific Northwest because it would not stop raining. I'm going to fucking kill myself out there, dude. I hated it. Oh, my God. Yeah. You ever been out there?
I've definitely done gigs in the Pacific Northwest, but I've not spent an extended period of time there to go. This ruins my mood.
I've never been in a place where you wake up, it's raining, and go to bed, it's raining.
Right.
I've never seen that before. I thought it was fake. And then they're like, no. And then people are like, I actually like it. I love when it rains like this. So yeah, it's a very sad, sad spot. But do you have another, what was the other question you had about? Never mind, he doesn't have a question. So.
Well, I did have one.
Never mind, he doesn't have a question.
No, this is a personality one now. What's the last movie to make you cry?
Not a big crier.
All right, that's respectful. Neither am I. We're on the same team here. I feel it, and then I'm a big college basketball fan. If Gonzaga wins a national championship, I might cry.
Okay,
like I will drive my truck thinking about them winning a national championship, and I'm like, stop, like you can't.
Last time I remember crying in a movie, I don't remember. There's some Disney movie where they killed a seal. I remember being a little kid seeing that and being real upset about it.
Since you were a kid?
No, I mean I've cried well, like since
at a movie.
Then. But not in a movie.
Well, the question's really? For a movie.
Yeah.
So. Well, movie, TV show, or
no,
no.
If I'm on mushrooms, I might. I might get a good cry out. But
yeah.
Outside of that, no, I'm not. I'm not big on crying.
Damn, dude, I cry. I cry like random shit. I'll watch all the time during the Olympics. I can't stop crying.
Wait, just, during the Olympics?
Yeah, because there's so much like emotion there when they win.
Talking
and
like a real person who got fingered by his dad in the asshole.
Dude.
I guess that's the difference. My dad never fingered me. So.
Well, maybe I can just teach the two of you how to be more autistic and not have to have these human emotions of crying.
I don't know. It's kind of fun. It's kind of fun to tear up listening to Katy Perry, and I don't know why.
There you go.
Yeah, it's fun.
Do you do you normally cry in life? Do you have moments at home where you're sad and it brings you to tears?
I don't, it's honestly not for me, not just like kind of normal. Usually it's something else, like a movie or something like that, that kind of almost like,
how often are you on drugs?
It. What?
How often are you on drugs when you cry?
I don't cry on Molly. And that's really the only drug I do. And when I drink, I don't know. Sometimes more when I drink, maybe I'll listen to a song or something like that, but I don't know, but I tear up. I definitely cry like once a week, but like usually just because like something, I think something's really moving, some like music or something, but it's usually, I'm not just like sitting at home and then just like thinking about my life and start crying, which I probably should. But yeah, just normally, no.
What about you? How often are you crying?
He's not a crier.
October of last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what was it again?
Oh, we'll not get into that, but...
Oh, wait.
Yeah, that's not for the podcast.
We don't want to talk about your dad.
We'll talk about that.
We don't want to talk about your dad.
Yeah, let's not.
Cried when my grandma died. I like my grandma. That was sad.
That's fair. Sad.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I cried. Yeah, I cried when my grandpa died. I was... And my grandma. Not just one.
I don't think I cried when my grandma died.
It was crazy. My grandpa died a couple years ago. Didn't cry. But I cried watching Hamilton, so... I don't know what that means.
I guess my grandma didn't, because she had Alzheimer's, so it felt like we already lost her. So like it wasn't that sad. I don't know. It does soften the blow a bit.
Yeah, you're like, because at that point you're like, that's, thank God.
Yeah, well, and also my grandma, she was not a citizen. She was Canadian. Yeah, I know. And then I remember when she first started getting Alzheimer's and she just forget stuff, and it drove my aunts crazy. And like, we need to tell her if she doesn't get her shit together, we're going to deport her to Canada.
Damn.
And so my little grandma with Alzheimer's, they threatened her with deportation if she didn't stop having Alzheimer's.
Wow.
That was fun.
That's some crazy gaslighting, or just like, I don't even know what they call that. Just fucking threat.
Elder abuse.
Yeah. Holy shit.
I think that's a term
stop
for it.
Stop being fucked. Yeah.
So you ever show up to work under the influence?
Define under the influence.
You know, like drunk, high,
mushrooms.
I guess. All right. The answer is yes and no. So there's never been a job that I've had where. Well, no, that's not true. I once had a bartending job that you weren't supposed to drink at, and I drank at that job.
Yeah, okay. That's like a wink. Like, don't drink.
Yeah. So I drank at that job, and you weren't allowed to drink at that job. I work sales jobs and I'm mostly responsible for my own book of business. So if I'm out with clients drinking, like that's a decision I'm making. It's the same as like if I'm drinking doing comedy. It's like I might be able to do the job better without it, but I made a decision that I prefer to do it this way on this particular evening. So like even if I decide to drink and respond to client emails or get through a spreadsheet, I'm kind of working for myself and I'm making a decision about the way that I choose to get work done.
Okay.
If I had a job that I felt like it was irresponsible to be drunk, hammered, I would not be showing up to work on drugs.
You're really like by the book.
Yeah. It's very respectable.
Yeah.
It's very respectable.
Have you ever hooked up with a coworker?
No.
No. Wow. That might.
No, that's it. Okay. Ever like watch porn or jacked off at work?
One time.
There we go.
Hell yeah.
Okay. But also,
yeah,
I worked weird sales jobs. And
wait, I thought it was at the vending machine.
No, this was not. This was not the vending machine one. This okay. This one is. We had sold a condom sponsor that made custom sized condoms based off of the size of your dick, right? Mm-hmm. And my other coworker, who is this like thin little dweeby guy, responded to an email jokingly saying, I'm a D7. I don't know if that's good. Ha ha. Mm. And I was like, I for sure have a bigger dick than this guy. Mm. And I was like, I have to know, do I have a bigger dick than this coworker who's a fucking dweeb? Right. And so I took the measurement things that they had.
Yeah.
And I started jerking off at work to get a hard on to find out whether or not I had a bigger dick than my coworker. And that guy's dick is gigantic. Like, dude, like
bigger than this fucking microphone.
Oh my God.
I actually went back and I was like, how is your dick this big? You're a fucking dweeb. Why don't you have like more aura to you? Yeah. You have a gigantic. He's like, really? I was like, dude, a D7 is like a 9-inch hog that's fucking thick. Yeah. Like, so I one time jerked off at work because I needed for myself to know that I had a bigger dick or that my coworker, which I did not, which was very disappointing.
Oh,
that I then had to go through the rest of the job knowing that that guy had a much significantly larger dick than me.
You see, and that's the aura right there. That dude didn't even care.
Yeah, there you go. That was the big dick energy. The aura?
He's like, what?
Yeah.
Dude, that's... So... God, getting you're jacking off of work like sure like that with the letdown of that, the post nut clarity of like it's not even bigger than this. Also, the whole goal is just to be like, no, it's just showing your dick off to another guy. My God. Oh, dude.
So the answer is so one time.
How long did you continue to work there after that?
I had to quit. Oh, geez. I wasn't gonna work a job knowing that that guy had a bigger dick.
How do women do it with like they know this girl's bigger tits than them, but they just have to suffer through it,
right?
You know, at least the men have the illusion of like, well, maybe I don't know, maybe I have a bigger dick.
Oh. By the way, I to this day, you ever have like moments where you're like, oh, I could have hooked up with that person? I once had I was working a sales job and we were out by the way, for like as much as they talk about like comics being like party people,
yeah,
salespeople are fucking aggressive animals. Oh, yeah. I worked at this New York City sales office. It was like a 200 person sales floor and everyone was doing blow. Mm-hmm. And it was all like these like young, I was actually the old guy in the office because I'd been doing comedy. I hadn't worked like real jobs. So I was like 32 and everyone was like 24, 25.
Mm-hmm.
We went out. I think our team must have had the best month in the office. So like we got, I don't know, $1,000 from the office to go out team building or whatever. Mm-hmm. And firstly, there was this fat chick on my team that was like all over me in a way where you're like, I would be arrested if I was doing what this one's doing. Like she was like, kind of like,
yeah.
All right. And so finally I get away from this lady and I'm leaving with my manager and we're walking up the stairs of this bar and she's like, so what are you up to from here? I'm like, I'm going home. She's like, oh, okay. And then I got in the Uber. I'm like, you fucking idiot. You could have fucked your manager. Like she was so clearly hitting on me where she left the bar with me to be like, hey, you want to come back and party? And I was too big of an idiot. Like I just I didn't even realize it till I got,
dude, you could have
where got- I was like, you fucking idiot.
Oh yeah.
Dude, that's part of that corporate ladder. These girls are like, they fuck their boss. All of a sudden they get so many days of PTO and all that shit. Yeah, dude.
Well, I remember I had an experience when I was at BYU Idaho.
Hell yeah.
That's the Mormon College in Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like playing volleyball with like a bunch of with a group of people. And this one girl, I didn't know at the time, but she was flirting with me. We are walking back to our apartment complex and she's like, Drew and I are going to take a shortcut. And she decides that we're both going to go a different way from the group.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts raining. And then she's like, have you ever been kissed in the rain? And I was like, no. And then just kept on walking.
That's a bad one.
Yeah, that night, I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, that was there for the taking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love that. Yeah, I won't even know if someone's like flirting with me until like afterwards. I'm like, oh, whoops. Well, that's not going to happen. Dude. So do you never fuck that girl, though? That manager?
No.
Damn, dude.
I wish I had. Zero that would have been a fun one.
She was fat?
No, she was fine. That would have been a fun one.
I thought you said she was fat.
No, there was another lady who was all fat and all over me.
I thought she was like this fat girl, and you were going to be like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to fuck you. I'm not a black dude. But
no, just a missed opportunity.
Damn, dude. Now, actually, I don't think we ever... So if we go back to vibes really fast, I actually don't think we ever got to your guilty pleasure song because you like jam bands.
Okay.
You just like those. Are there like, is there like any kind of pop thing, like singer, any kind of song that you're like, fuck, I kind of like that? Like, I'll tell you a song I cried to. I was like... I had like a bad experience on like some like ecstasy. I was at my Amazon job. I was in a rough spot and the song comes on the radio and like I start crying and I was like, oh my God. Halfway through the song, I realized it's a Taylor Swift song. And I was like, God fucking damn it. But I was like, she got me. I was like, she got me. I can't deny it.
All right. This is pure trash.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, I'm like, I can listen to Limp Bizkit.
Dude, I like Limp Bizkit. Fred Durst is so fun.
That's actually respectable.
No. Fred Durst, I swear to God, every single concert I've ever seen clips from him at, he's in like a different costume. Like, they seem fun. No, I support that.
Okay.
Shout out to, also, it's like, it's becoming big again with like Gen Z.
Really?
They're like getting into Korn and like Limp Bizkit. Like, that's I don't know, like, why they're into nu metal, but, that's their thing right now, so.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know it either.
I didn't know that that was coming back.
I thought that was over.
Yeah, I thought that was cast away.
Nope. It's coming back. So.
Really? I didn't even know that. That's how out of the loop I am. I didn't realize I was becoming cool again.
Yeah, dude. It's always coming. Dude, dude. You're all complaining about not getting laid anymore.
I just got to roll out that old wardrobe.
Yeah, dude, get out the JNCOs.
Yeah, those fucking 90s concert t-shirts. They're in a drawer somewhere.
Oh, dude.
I've got some Metallica parking lot t-shirts.
Yeah, you know, we have those t-shirts on. They're like, which Urban Outfitter did you get that at? No, it's vintage.
There you go.
Yeah. You have a question, Drew?
Yeah. I'm drawing a blank on what it was.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Damn. No, I had one locked in, ready to go, and then I got into the Metallica t-shirt.
It's a cool t-shirt.
Here's what it was. It's a fun one. You never know what people are going to say. What's your favorite racial slur?
Honestly?
Big list.
It's Jew is the funniest.
It
is just the funniest. Dude, I remember the first time I watched Casino. And there's that scene out in the desert with Joe Pesci, and he goes, "You Jew motherfucker, you." And I never heard the word Jew used in that way. I'm a Jewish. I never heard it like just used as a derogatory slur.
Yeah.
And I remember just laughing my ass off.
Yeah.
And it's the safest because I'm Jewish. So you get to throw it around the most. But I got to say, it's the funnest. It really... It was like tonight when I said every conspiracy theory or two layers of research away just from going, it's the Jews.
It is one of the funniest parts about conspiracies, how you're like kind of reading some stuff and then it just takes that right turn and they're like, but like the Jews definitely, it's like, I don't know. It's like, it's almost at this point I'm waiting for that. But that line though from Casino, like I'd never heard, it sounds too cool too, the way he says it. It's like, it wouldn't be the same movie without the Jew right there. It's sick, dude.
Well, I had a bit that I tried that just and it was very bad. But I remember like in middle school, kids would call kids Jew, and there were no Jews. My Spokane, Washington, zero. I don't think you might be the first Jew I've ever met.
There you go.
There's just so little on the West Coast. And so like whenever anyone was being a douche, they'd be like, you Jew. Mm. And then you learn about the Holocaust. And I was like, oh, Hitler killed a bunch of douchebags. That was like... the punchline. I tried this like my first open mic ever.
Right.
Like my brain, and I thought that's what it meant because that's what you always said. And then it just wasn't.
Have you gotten someone to drop the N-word when you asked that question? Have you goaded somebody into...
We definitely had guys just say it on the podcast before.
Just one.
Two.
Wait. Chuck Fury.
And Colin.
Well, I knew Colin. Colin was the one.
Yeah, you know, Chuck said it like 15 times at the beginning
of the
podcast.
He kind of can.
I mean...
No, he shouldn't.
Yeah, there's definitely guys I hear that, we didn't even ask them to. They're just throwing it around.
Never, I don't even think it was that question where we got people to say
Other than the, what other, who's throwing around chink? Who uses that word? Yeah. Who throws around oriental? Who throws around that?
It's almost like cute if someone says oriental. You're like,
I'm just saying, what other racial slurs are people using on the, the regular,
I think it's like fag.
Is that a racial slur? That's not a
slur. That's not a racial slur. Yeah. I guess that's just a slur.
Yeah. Oh, also, my mom, for the longest time, thought Oriental was the politically correct word for Asian.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So she would always say
Guinea. Like, I'm just saying, other than
Italian, the, like, slurs, like, don't even count.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, that's usually what we get if we ask that question, is Italian ones. That's the go-to. Right. Because it's the safest.
The safest, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because really you're just goading people into seeing if someone will say the N-word.
But yeah, that's what's fun about the N-word is the people will say it. They'll just come out with it. Uh-oh. So here's a question. It's one of our main questions throughout every episode. If there was a country you could nuke off the face of the earth, which would it be?
I get to nuke an entire country.
And we've had to say to multiple people, you can't say America. It's too easy. Because we've all had multiple of that.
I don't know. This is a stumper. Gonna nuke a whole country.
Whole country.
Off the face of the earth. What would I rather not be here?
Joan Benjamin would just say they don't exist.
Oh, but the nukes don't exist?
Yeah, that's his theory. But some people go by population. They'd be like, well, this has the least amount of people.
I feel like you don't want to nuke anything on our side of the hemisphere because the likelihood is you're going to end up with nuclear fallout. So you're talking about really the question is what Asian country?
It's a good spot. And then
we've never had anyone think about it like this.
No, it's
like
great. It's self-preservation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I'm just saying there's no reason to nuke anything in the northern hemisphere. Firstly, nothing affects me enough, you know? Yeah. So that doesn't make any sense. The idea here is you have to nuke a country.
It has to be one. It's one country that has to be gone. Maybe for whatever reason, we have had people just say like Greece because like I just fucking don't like it. Some people say the Vatican because it's the smallest country.
Yeah, that one's sorry.
But you're still gonna have a problem. You're gonna end up with major issues.
That's
in Europe.
Effect. It's like you're dropping on Rome.
Yeah, I feel like if you want something that you're we know that Japan can handle it.
They can take it.
Yeah, Japan can, and they'll forgive you. Mm-hmm. They'll let it go. You know, also,
they bounce back.
They bounce back pretty good.
We nuked them. I got it.
Their eyes are weird, anyways. So you know,
yeah. And now we have PS5.
If anyone's been evolved to just handle a nuke, it's the Japs. So I guess at this point,
that's
what my by the way. If you don't nuke them, they'll just end up blowing up their own nuclear reactors.
Doing you a favor.
So you're doing them a favor. Yeah. You know, they seem to like the radiation out there.
Yeah.
How else are they going to have Godzilla?
Exactly. There's so many things that we don't want to have.
Yeah.
Because, like, what were they doing before World War II? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
They just wanted our gas.
So Japan.
Sure.
That's a good ally. No one's done Japan.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's picked Japan. No. We've had India.
All I know, Japan could or could not exist. For all I know, Japan's a psyop. Have you ever been to Japan? I've never been to Japan.
No,
I don't like anything Japanese. There's nothing Japanese I eat. There's nothing important from Japan. There's never been a musical artist where I'm like, oh man, thank God this guy came in from Japan. You know,
Shohei Ohtani, like him.
I don't know who the fuck that is.
Baseball player. really, the things that affect you the most would just be like cars. Toyota.
I'm not a Toyota guy.
There you go.
I'm a Subaru guy. I think that's South Korea.
No, Japanese.
Subaru. Oh, is it Japanese?
Wait, is Subaru Japanese?
Japanese.
Well, then let's not nuke that part of Japan.
Keep that one separate.
Those are the good Japs.
That one's nice. We like
the
Subaru.
Honda's the bad ones. Yeah. But the Subarus.
We can get rid of Nissan. We can absolutely get rid of Nissan.
Don't need Nissans.
They suck. Okay, I like that. Yeah, we've had people, we had an Indian guy on our podcast with before we could even finish the question, he was like, Pakistan.
Like just before. Also, we asked him what his favorite racial slur is, and he said curry muncher.
Yeah. I've never even heard that.
I've never heard it either. I know. I like the racial, like the slurs. Really, is that even a thing?
Curry muncher sounds like a term for someone who specifically, like an Indian lesbian.
Yeah. No, dude. I was thinking about are there ever like countries who are like they want to have a slur about them? Because I don't think there's a slur about like Peruvians. Because I feel like they just could call it like Mexicans. And I feel like do people ever like yearn to have a slur because like
because it makes you important.
Yeah.
It's like you have enough of an impact on people for them to dislike you enough to honor you with a slur. It's almost an honor.
It is.
Yeah.
It's like we know who you are.
Otherwise, it's like you don't even exist.
Yeah, because it's like you have to be getting specific about this certain spot. But yeah, Peru, it's like you're just like...
Yeah, it's like apathy is the... Exactly.
Worse than hate.
Than hate. Yeah, hate is closer to love. So at least if we have a derogatory slur, it's because you have enough of an impact on my life for me to have an emotion towards you.
Yep.
Versus if there's no slur for you at all, that means you're completely fucking neutral. You're bringing nothing to the table.
This hurts so bad to be like, if you're like, I don't even know what you are. And then you're like, oh, no, I'm from this, I love my country. And you're like, I don't even know where that is. And like, it's cool though. And you're like, well, you know where, we know where we live. You know where America is. Like, that would suck if no one even is even aware.
That checks out. Yeah.
So
I posted a stand-up clip, and one of my friends from college, he was a guy from China. Like, he'd only been in the States for a couple of years. He commented on my stand-up clip, do Chinese jokes. I was like, oh, I don't think you know how this works here in America. Like, I can't just...
Oh, he's requesting. He's like, come on.
He's like sending me requests. He's like, come on, give me your best one. Like,
you're like, well, there's a comic who tried that once. that's sick though. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, so we're nearing the end of the podcast. We're nearing the end of the job interview. Sometimes I forget that we're doing an interview throughout the podcast, and I'm like, oh yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So that's how the interview's fun.
One more quick one. What's the craziest lie you ever told a boss? Doesn't have to be that out there, but.
Man, you throw me real thinkers here. I got to actually...
Oh, yeah, dude. We're getting in there.
Craziest lie.
Was there ever a time, you know, where, I don't know, you can't make it into work and you're like... both my parents died.
I'm so not this part. I never missed work. Yeah. Like, when I had jobs, it was just like, you show up for work. Like, it doesn't matter. You just fucking show up.
I'm the same. I'll show up where I'm like, I shouldn't. I'm like, I am like beyond, I'm like barely sober and I'm like, I'll make it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm same.
Okay. And this last one here, it kind of falls into your expertise.
I'm so boring on these.
Don't worry. You're not a boring person that we've had.
Yeah. You're not.
We've
Jimmy
had
Glasscock.
People who are, they just are very buttoned up, but have no personality. And it's like, that's you're good.
The lies I've told at work is like pretending that you don't hate the job that you hate.
Yeah.
That's like, I'll do that all day where you show up and you got to put a fucking smile on your face be a whore and pretend you don't absolutely despise people that you hate.
Isn't it like a relief when you have a boss who kind of breaks that fourth wall and is like, this fucking sucks. And then you can like talk to your boss about how terrible it is.
Well, no, of course I have that. My best friend's my boss at the valet I work at.
Right.
You just talk shit and it's. Because especially I'm just dealing with people face to face all the time. Like, hey, welcome into the hotel and all that. And like, but really what I'm thinking is just like, why the fuck are you valeting your car?
I'll spend years of my life pretending like everything's fine when it's not.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the biggest lie to ourselves.
Yeah, I'll live that lie of just keep showing up. Going, yeah, this stuff's fine. Yeah, the corporation's great. I love what we're doing here, you know?
Mm-hmm. We really got a plan here. We're having a good time.
Yeah.
Okay, so this last one, this kind of falls into your expertise.
Okay.
We're going to name names, and we want to know if you would vote for these people for president of the United States.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. Okay. First one, Kevin Spacey.
No,
caveat.
Okay,
playing Francis Underwood from House of Cards. He's just always in character.
Yeah,
never breaks character.
That is, there's something fun about that, but it's too. All right, here's why I don't like it. A, it's too serial killery, and two, I hate the way that politics has just become entertainment, and that's all of us just going, hey, we'd rather have the entertaining thing to someone who actually. Can do anything, accomplish anything, or actually knows anything about this. Mm-hmm. So it's like we're all that's all of us relegating ourselves to, hey, I'll participate in this LARP of understanding that this is all shenanigans. So why not take the person who played the president the best on TV and just make them president? Mm-hmm. Because it's why, in other words, that's all of us going,
it's kind of like what they did in Ukraine, right?
Yes, I guess. They hired some comedic actor to play the role for the CIA for, you know, washing their money. But I'm saying to take for like the guy, we all know that he's not that person.
Yeah.
But for us to go, hey, it's cut. We enjoy that on television. So why not just make that a reality? Is just it's such a. No, I understand. Firstly, how fun is that actual? You know what I mean? Sometimes TV shows, they go on too long where they don't have the writers and you're like, this sucks now.
Or goes on too long that he's no longer on the show.
Right. Right.
Yeah, because he got.
Well, because he got in trouble for it.
Yeah. Well,
but when he's playing, you know what else? Louis C.K. had this really funny rant where he says actors, they're like, you learn that they're just empty cups. And you have to fill them up. Yeah. And that's the problem with the actors is that they're uninteresting. And for the most part, they're not that smart, but they get used to all of the credit that they get for other people's lines that they start believing that they're actually important or they have something of value to add and they don't. Mm-hmm. So that's the problem with him as he's actually I'm sure he's a brilliant guy
and
he's clearly a brilliant actor. But like him actually playing that part without writers probably isn't that good.
Well, he did. Play that part without actors when he made like a video like a 2 years after
when he made the pitch to play the part you're a fucking gay guy then you just see him as a gay guy
he got canceled and he made a video where he's like addressing he just made a video talking to everyone was like I know you've been wondering where I've been and he's still in character
right.
And everyone was like this is fucking crazy because like why aren't you just talking as yourself
right
but he's like yeah you missed me on House of Cards but so there's something about that there's a tenacity to him that I feel like maybe it could be fun for the office also because it's really them just saying like hey the president didn't really run the show anyways
right
so that's the first option second option Tom Brady.
He's handsome.
He's a handsome guy.
I'm just saying, if we're going to... All right, here's the Tom Brady pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Is I'm a disciplined winner, and I won at what is the pinnacle of our culture, and I did that at a high level, and it's because I'm so disciplined. And so if you throw me into this other role, I can win at this as well. And there's a pitch there.
Yep.
So... Tom Brady, it would be relative to they're all lying all the time,
mm-hmm.
but it's do you have the dignity or to, no, it's not even that. Are you going to lie with something that's like along the lines of my values? So, for example, if Tom Brady got up tomorrow and said, listen, I've actually been doing some research and I think I can fix the country and we have to end the Federal Reserve and get out of wars. I'd be like, fuck yeah, Tom Brady rules. Mm-hmm. Like take Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, if Aaron Rodgers was running for president and Aaron Rodgers was like, listen, after everyone gave me shit over this vaccine, I realized how corrupt the system is and I've been doing my homework and vote for me. I'm going to get rid of the Fed. I'd be like, Aaron Rodgers rules.
Yeah.
So you take a guy like Tom Brady, I'm not going to rule him out for his personality, but it would have to be, and I understand that whatever his platform is a lie. They're always if you're going for that, it's just because you want power. That's the game that we're playing. But it's are your lies in line with my values that I want them to be platformed.
Okay.
Also, I mean, it'd be hard to win against in a debate because halfway through the debate, you can be like, just check out his past really fast. So, like, I mean, if he has that in his back pocket,
he can outcool the other people
easily.
He'd show up to the
easily,
game
and you know, he's physically fit for the job. It's like he's just like,
right.
He's like,
just show up with all of his Super Bowl rings on.
All and he's like, and he's used to having coordinators and coaches. He's like, I know how to separate the power and like they do this, I do that. It's like. He'd be hard if he really got a good campaign going. I don't know. I mean, he'd be hard to go against. Okay.
Next one here. We just pull back the curtain a bit and elect Larry Fink.
I could not get behind Larry Fink. That's the guy who runs BlackRock, right?
Yeah.
No, I couldn't. That Larry Fink, that's chief evil right there.
Dude, it's no one.
Then there's
Finky.
Then there's no more facade, though.
There still is the facade.
We give our real president the actual title.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's so he's
so
Oz.
Larry Fink, though, could have a pitch. You ready for the Larry Fink pitch?
Let's do it.
Let's hear it.
I'm making Bitcoin the reserve currency of the United States government, and you will be a millionaire based off of the Bitcoin that you own. I might go, all right, now you're bribing me. You're specifically saying, here's the money I will put in your wallet. And then I go, everything's a fucking scam. But A, this goes back to the Fed. I actually think he'll fix the financial system if he were to do that. And two, he'll make me wealthy. So even Larry Fink might be able to bribe me for a vote.
There hell yeah, dude. this whole podcast has been coming to earth. Right. This has just been a way to Trojan horse Larry Fink into this.
Gold or Bitcoin?
Ooh. All right, wait. Flush out the question. Be more specific.
Or V-Bucks on Fortnite. I don't know.
That sounds like a fun currency.
It's a real currency.
Okay.
Like that's,
what is it? You can trade it in for the armor wear on that or something?
That's how you purchase all their items. You have to like put in cash, and then you get a certain amount of V-Bucks, and then, you know,
with him for president.
And then, Epic Games makes $20 billion.
Okay.
You know? Yeah, that's what it's all about.
The rephrasing is, you're going to put one in, you're going to be hoarding one.
Okay.
In case there's a financial crisis. Okay. Which one are you hoarding?
I personally have a lot more of my personal assets in Bitcoin than gold, but I don't know that that's a smart play. If you were to be more specific and say, what do I think would make for a better base currency?
Yeah.
And I'm going to gold still makes more sense to me, but I know that that's probably also not actually technically accurate.
Hell yeah. I kind of checked out right there because I was like, I don't understand either of these things really. Because in my head, I'm like, they're both worthless though. Like, so I was always like, the reserves, the gold. I'm like, but isn't that like not really worth? Like, it's like we just attribute value to that. But that's what's fun about money. Anyways, so I'm trying to think. Maybe more questions for him before we get to the final. They just should we hire him now? Yeah.
So, I
apologize. I wish I had more exciting answers for you guys.
No, yo, you're very exciting.
The thing was,
it's also like you just seem put together and like smart. Well.
Yeah,
it's just like it's really throwing us off.
I was expecting a lot more degeneracy on the job.
We're not used to this kind of competence.
Like, we're talking to comedians and we're talking about their open job micers. History. Right. And yeah, we're like, we had a guy once. He's like, yeah, I fucked a coworker in a porta potty. And we're like, whoa.
I wish I was that cool. I'm a vanilla guy who drinks off the job.
I know. It's like. Yeah, it just sound like just a good guy, you know. Got your head on straight, you know. You haven't been to prison. I don't know. It's just like he almost sounds like too much of a slam dunk for this job.
Yeah,
yeah.
You're overqualified for the position.
Well, now we're worried about he's gonna ice us out of our position. But I don't know. We might not be able to have a company without him because he asked us the first great question, which is, what is the company? And we didn't have a good answer for that.
Dude, if we hire this Jew, he might replace us.
Fuck, dude.
Fun joke.
Shit. I don't know, man. I mean, I feel like you're...
I know.
What?
He's our sales guy.
There you go.
Easily.
Yeah, yeah. He's in the sales.
Well, because you were so good at this already. Like, you walk into the pitch and, like, what is the company? Like, doesn't... Dude, what's your company? And you can circumvent that so easily.
Yeah. But we will have to get rid of Jimmy Glasscock.
Well, no. He's still in the company. He doesn't do anything. There's a guy named... There's a real guy. His real name is Jimmy Glasscock. But we'll just keep him around.
Yeah, we hired him on the condition that in the office he's just in a glass case.
Yeah, because we're afraid of him around women, so we put him in a glass box.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and
so he can just do his work.
Is he allowed to flash his dick through the box though?
I didn't think about that.
Yeah,
but no, he's too straight laced of like a Mormon kid, even though he's not Mormon anymore.
Okay,
they're like, we just don't see him doing that. But yeah,
he's
more Mormon than
like actual Mormons, even though he doesn't go to church.
Doesn't do drugs, doesn't drink, all this shit. Anyways, so we have him in a glass cage. He is. But although, out of a lot of people we've interviewed, he has jacked off in his car outside of work. And we're like, what? And he's like, yeah. He's like, is that weird? Crazy. And we're like, yeah, it is. And he's like, what? And then, anyways, his mom listened to that podcast.
Yeah,
that
was fun.
So.
Yeah, I'd say he's hired.
Cars outside of work is a tough place for jerking off.
In the parking lot.
Yeah. Is he watching porn on his phone?
Yeah.
Where's he splooging into? Are you bringing napkins?
Is the question like in your shirt?
You just wear
it. You have an empty sock?
Or you just carry that oyster with you all day?
In like a 7-Eleven cup? Like,
yeah, why aren't you jerking off at home before you get to the parking lot? That almost sounds like the fetish is being outside of work with the potential of getting caught.
Or you're just thinking about seeing your boss. You're like, oh, fuck, I got to get. I don't know, like, what is leading to that? Like, I have to get this out. Like,
and is that during the workday taking a break and going to his car or like before?
I can't remember if we specified or if it was like right before he went in or it was like either way, just like.
I think he said it was on a lunch break.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
If my memory serves me correct.
And I think he did like, I think he was like a coder. So I'm like, I don't know, like what, like.
Dude, those numbers, there's the binary code just got him. He's seen all those ones and zeros all day.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. So he's a. That was the weird thing with this kid is like he had such kind of a boring life.
Right.
And then, he's jacked off outside of his work. And I was like, okay. Like, so his life, I don't know. These people, we get more worried about people like him. That's why I have him in the glass cage.
Yeah.
Because you're like, you seem like this loose cannon that's ready to go off.
But if you give this guy his own space, he might be jerking off in there all the time.
I didn't think about that.
You might not want this.
This is
guy.
Why you definitely have the job. You're filling in the holes for us that we don't even realize we have all these problems within our organization. We didn't think about that he could just whip his dick out.
That guy doesn't get work done if you leave him alone in his own space. He's just jerking off at the job site.
He backed us into a corner. This is exactly what he wanted.
Yeah.
Oh,
you need that guy in a general cubicle where everyone can see him. That's what you need.
We have all eyes on him. But wait. I mean, I don't know. This all just circles around him.
Yeah.
This whole office circles around him.
Also, I think his episode got like the most downloads we'd had
because the name.
The name, people are like, Glasscock.
His name's Glasscock, and it just has such great SEO. Everyone just like, I think people just see the name, like, what's this about? But, anyways, okay, so yeah, you got the job, dude.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
You have the job.
Also, it's good to diversify. I don't think this is like our one opportunity in Utah to hire a Jewish man.
There you go.
Yeah, really. Honestly, I don't think I didn't know any Jewish people growing up. I always, but like what I was taught in the growing up Mormon is they're like, they're similar to us.
Yeah, no, Mormons.
They have been
Mormons
persecuted
love,
just like us.
Mormons love
what is the Mormon persecution?
They view when they went on like the pine, when they became pioneers and like fled. Like it was like Missouri because they were like they hate Mormons, and really what it was is like Joseph Smith was like fucked a 14-year-old and was like practicing polygamy, and they were like that's why they tarred and feathered
him. There was a state sanctioned extermination where it was legal to kill a Mormon in the state of Missouri, and so that
were they all fucking 14-year-olds?
Kind of.
I think it was.
So in other words, Missouri was anti-pedophiles.
Yeah. And so then they ran off. And so the Mormon story, though, is like they tried to kill us all. And
yeah. So they were like,
and you know what?
That's how they ended up in Utah.
But it's a very Jewy move. Yeah. You're fucking the 14-year-olds and you're going, those bigots over there really hate us.
What the fuck, guys? We're just having
also,
fun.
Mormons do a lot of, like, they have the temples and then everything in there is, like, very, like, Old Testament-y. And then like the patriarchal blessing, and you get assigned to a tribe of Israel.
Oh yeah, it's a big thing. We get part of a tribe, and then
if you're a good Mormon, you get Ephraim.
Yeah,
why is that a good one to be labeled as?
Isn't that just the biggest one? Like the most amount of people get put in that one?
Yeah,
I don't know. There's like a lot of weird shit like that where it's like just most people get put in that.
Isn't he, excuse my Bible history, wasn't he a son of Joseph? That's one of the split tribes, isn't it?
Ephraim and Manasseh.
Manasseh, right.
Yeah, and so the Mormons are like, we come from, all Mormons think that's theirs. Mm. And then, Mormons are like fascinated with, there's so much Judaism mixed into Mormonism. It's weird.
It's...
What are the other tribes that you could get labeled as?
You're asking the wrong guy. I don't know. They all sound just dumb and old. But but it's always
it's
like
some
people,
real
people
Gryffindor
always just like,
Slytherin shit.
Oh yeah, really yeah. Is. No, it yeah. is. It's like you're getting like sorted into your.
Well,
house.
I would hear like, oh my cousin, she got put in like some like fucking random one. And everyone's like, whoa. Like,
yeah, they didn't get you from.
Oh my god, what does that mean? Yeah, so it's very crazy. You know the show Battlestar Galactica?
I'm familiar.
That show's like a lot of it is based around Mormonism. Right. The person who wrote it was Mormon, like back in like the 80s.
Right.
So I had no idea about that. Like, there's like the 12 tribes are in that.
Okay.
They're represented in that show. It's a strange thing. So, yeah. Anyways, well, that's a quick view into. I haven't talked about that shit since, for like 10 years. So, you're hired. Yeah. We'll tell you more about Mormonism there. You'd be a great missionary.
All right.
Dude, that's just a sales job.
There you go.
That's all it is.
I mean, that's why you go to like the Mormon universities and all these like.
Home
security.
And where do they recruit? Like where?
Just churches all over the world. So it's like when you grow up and you become like 18. Then
I feel like the pitch is you go to South America, you knock on someone's door and you're like, would you like to be more white?
It is kind of like that. For me, I went to Scotland and Ireland.
Okay.
And so I would knock.
They're already white.
Yeah, but I'd knock on people's door and be like, so like, do you hate gay people? And we're like, we're Catholic. And I'm like, we're halfway there. And
right.
That was a hard sell in Ireland because I'd be like, you want to, you know, join our church? And they're like, yeah, all the priests fucked our kids, so I don't think we're into that anymore. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty good reason. And I'm like a 19-year-old kid. I'm like, I don't have anything to say to that. So they weren't as into it out there.
Why do the Mormons like to recruit?
To get people in.
So here's what. Yeah, so Mormons, they believe basically that they're like not the anti-Catholic. So
the true church.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, like the whole Jesus thing. Jesus came, made a church. Mormons believe, and then like Catholics are like, we are the same church have always been.
Right.
Mormons are like, the church was corrupted. It fell. And then our guy brought it back to life in the Joseph 1800s Smith. In America.
In Palmyra, yeah, New York.
Yeah, he brought it back. And so now Mormons believe it's the restored church of Jesus Christ back on the earth. And Mormons are like, we got to share it with everyone and get everyone back in.
Yeah, so let them know they're doing it wrong. Yeah, that we do. We got the truth. And now in like the church has changed since the 1800s till now. And now it's like the church has a stock portfolio. And like you can see what they trade on the market. Like they have a massive stock portfolio, and they have like they own some of the most farmland in the country. It's like just like a bunch of shit like that, kind of like Scientology. So it's like a weird way they've they say they have 15 million members, active members it's 5 million. So it's weird because they keep announcing that more and more temples, but it's like less and less people are going to church, especially now the younger generation are really falling off and leaving the church, like me. But like now with the internet, more information's out there and people are like, this is not real. And so it's like collapsing, but they have so much money. So
yeah, no, I think they have more than the Vatican now. It's crazy.
I don't know about that. I don't know.
Last estimate that I saw on Wikipedia.
Who recruits people to share their wealth though? So what's the scheme? If you're bringing people
pay tithing. You become a Mormon, then you pay tithing.
You got to pay
10% of your income.
Okay.
So that's like what they want. And you're a good Mormon if you pay your tithing. So right. obviously they can't.
And if you don't pay you can't go to a temple.
Yeah, you can't get a temple recommend.
Okay. So they're trying to bring people in to get their 10%.
Yeah. And so I think that's what it used to be for a while. And then they really started to like figure out how to make more and more money. So now it doesn't even matter as much anymore. But they still have like huge players, like huge, like really rich Mormons, like Mitt Romney.
Right.
People like that.
It's funny that his name? He was a Senate
Majority Whip.
Yeah, what's his name?
It's not Mike Lee.
No. Mike Lee's Mormon, but who is the?
What's the point? Like, what did he do?
No,
Mike Johnson.
Like, no. It was a Democrat. But it's funny how many like Mormons are in D.C.
There's a ton of Mormons in the CIA. Like a lot of Mormons are in the CIA. It's a hot recruiting ground for the CIA. Cause like, I think they know like they're so like obedient. Like they don't do crazy shit.
Mormons
they don't
are
drink.
Incredibly patriotic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't know if you, did you hear of Evan McMullen in 2016? So many Mormons were like turned off by Trump's rhetoric, and Utah is like almost always a red state, Trump almost lost like Utah in 2016 because the CIA put this Mormon guy out there to run and he almost won Utah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's wild.
All right. Well, I think we've made it. Yeah, yeah, we made a quite a big tangent. We should hop off.
Yeah.
But
anything you want to promote?
Check out. I got my own personal podcast, the Run Your Mouth podcast. And hopefully before the election, I will have a special out, Robbie the Fire, all one word on YouTube. You can follow me on social media, but hopefully that will be out there before the election.
Hell yeah, dude.
Nice.
Okay. Well, hey, thanks for coming on. That was super fun.